Spring is finally here, and it's that time of year when plans start becoming real. Trips are getting booked, the calendar is filling up, and the energy is shifting. Make this season count. By starting right now, you'll hit summer already feeling more confident speaking and understanding a brand new language. Whether you're prepping for a dream vacation, reconnecting with your family heritage, or just finally checking learn a new language off your bucket list, Rosetta Stone is the way to go. They've been the trusted leader in language learning for over 30 years because they skip the boring stuff. There's no memorizing random vocabulary lists or leaning on chunky translations. Instead, their intuitive method helps you naturally absorb the language by connecting words and visuals to real-world meaning. It's about learning in context, the way language was actually meant to be learned. As a trusted expert with millions of users, Rosetta Stone offers 25 different languages, including Spanish, French, German, Japanese, and more. It really is the ultimate tool for genuine growth. Ready to start learning a new language this spring? Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 today to explore Rosetta Stone and choose the language that's right for you. Go to rosettastone.com/rs10 now and begin your language learning journey. Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
AC Sparky Fiber at 1250 AM The Fan. Time for another Milwaukee Sports Timeout at 55 past the hour here on 1250 AM The Fan. Live from the Wendy's studios. Wait, did someone say it's buy one, get one for just a dollar at Wendy's? Yeah, that's right. BOGO to Wendy's and double up on all your favorites. Buy the Tasty Dave single, the spicy chicken sandwich, the crispy 10-piece nugs, or a smooth, creamy, medium frosty, and get another for just a buck. You heard it right, and you can take advantage of this amazing BOGO deal at participating Wendy's. Hurry before it's BO-gone. And let's talk about the Milwaukee Brewers, shall we? And being joined now by a very special guest, I'll be honest with you, I've never, ever interviewed this guy before, so it's a first time, so I'm looking forward to talking with Matt Klein, VP of Baseball Operations for the Milwaukee Brewers. Matt, how you doing? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thank you guys. Appreciate you having me.
All right. First things first, let's talk a little bit about, you know, obviously we have the MLB trade deadline coming up for the Milwaukee Brewers, and from the outsider looking in, having, you know, been in sports talk radio for a long time, I've always kind of viewed the trade deadline to kind of see really what the organization really thinks of the roster at this point. I go back to Doug Melvin, when he was the GM, told the story of back in the day when he was with the Rangers, how, you know, they were relatively close. I think they were two or three games out, whatever the case may be. And he decided that they weren't going to be good enough. They didn't have enough. So he made what they deemed a white flag trade back in the day because he didn't think they were close enough. And I've always thought, depending on, you know, those top prospects that you're willing to deal or not deal at the trade deadline, probably is a good indicator of really just how good you think that baseball team is. Is that a fair way to assess it from a fan standpoint?
You know, it's probably not quite as black and white as that. You know, there's a lot that goes into the decision and really the multiple decisions that we have to make in terms of how best to set the club up, not just for, you know, the current season, but also trying to give ourselves the opportunity to build a sustainable winner. So a lot of things in our industry, it's not always black and white as it may seem. But essentially what we're trying to do is make the best decisions we possibly can to set this club up for success, not only in the current season, but also in future seasons.
When you talk about roster construction for this team heading into this season, I think there were probably questions coming off of last season going into this season about the offense. And now you look at the offense and you're pretty much last across the board in the National League offensively. I don't know if what went wrong or what didn't you expect necessarily when you put this roster together versus what actually happened during the season?
Yeah, so I think it's really a byproduct of knowing that there's different ways to win Major League Baseball games, right? Like scoring a lot of runs, having a high-powered offense is certainly one way to do it. Other ways, you know, to win consistently on the Major League level are built around pitching, defense, solid base running. And every team, every season is going to be a little bit different, right? You're going to have a different identity in 2023 than you did maybe in 2022, 2021, or in other previous years where we have had success. And so I don't think we look at it as, you know, what went wrong per se. I think it's more about what are the strengths of the team that we have right now and how can we fortify other areas to set us up to compete for the postseason this season.
From, again, from our perspective, looking at it, I would say a majority of fans would say corner infield has probably been an issue at first and third base. And there really wasn't necessarily, looking at the farm system, a ton of help on the way. And then the draft comes and you guys start drafting some corner infielders in the draft for the first time, I believe, really, since David Stearns took over. Really heavily there early on. Was there a change in draft philosophy going away from always looking up the middle of the field, whether it be shortstop, second, outfielders?
You know, there really wasn't. You know, our basic draft philosophy, and this is going to sound overly simplistic, is really just take the best player available on the board, you know, and try to do the best we can with the pool space that we have to bring as much talent into the organization as possible. And that takes a lot of input from, you know, our really great scouting staff. It takes input, you know, from our R&D group, our analysts, and obviously Todd Johnson, Matt Arnold, you know, have worked really hard to orchestrate just how the draft played out for us. And, you know, like most clubs, we're very happy with how it played out for us. We think we did a great job of injecting talent into this organization. But really, you know, to directly answer your question, no, there wasn't like some great seismic shift in philosophy. We really are just trying to acquire as much talent via the draft as we possibly can.
It was my favorite draft of the David Stearns era. It's not technically his era now. I guess it's Matt Arnold's era, but by far my favorite one of all of them to this point. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, this deadline and as far as your top prospects, because the one thing that's worked out because of the way that everything has played out this year, you've had a couple of your outfield prospects already on the major league level. And really, the last one, as far as the top outfield prospects go, Jackson Chourio, obviously, is still at Double A. Looking at this trade deadline, are those guys pretty much at this point untouchable as far as wanting to keep them together for the long term?
Look, I think the honest answer to that is no one is ever untouchable. You know, it just depends on what you get back. You know, but it would be very, very difficult to part with people who are either impacting our major league club currently or somebody that we expect to significantly impact our club in the future. But look, like, I don't think we're in the business of drawing lines in the sand. It's just obviously going to take a lot more in terms of the return to talk about certain players compared to others.
Let me counter that. There was an article in The Athletic, Jim Bowden, the former GM, put out this morning some trades that he would like to see happen.
And he had the Brewers trading Garrett Mitchell for the young first baseman, 21-year-old Soderstam, I think is his name, Tyler Soderstam. You probably know his name better than I do, with the Oakland Athletics. Now, that would be a deal where it would not be necessarily a prospect for either, because both have been at the major league level, even though Mitchell is recovering from injury. But it would be a young outfielder, which you obviously have a surplus of, I guess, to a degree, for a young corner infielder and a first baseman that would help to solve maybe that issue within the system itself. If it was a young guy for a young guy, does that make it easier to do?
I mean, without commenting on specific players,
right,
I think we're going to be open-minded. You know, I think we're going to be open-minded about improving this club any way we can. You know, I haven't seen that particular suggestion or haven't had a chance to read that particular article yet. But look, it goes back to sort of what we always say. We're going to be open-minded. We're going to look to make responsible decisions that not only impact, you know, the current 2023 club, but also give us a chance to sustain success into the future. Because that's a really important part of our identity. It's, you know, how do we not only win now, but also give ourselves a chance to win moving into the future?
That sounds good, Matt, and I can understand that and get down with that. My only issue is I feel like the walls are closing in around the Brewers right now with the looming situation of contracts with Burns, Woodruff, and Adames coming up. And really, we're talking about this year and next year. And then, you know, this decision is going to be made whether or not the Brewers can afford to sign any one of those three guys. Do you guys look at it like a two-year window at this point, knowing that, you know, you have arguably two of the best pitchers in baseball in Burns and Woodruff, and no guarantee that either one will be here after 2 years?
I think that's a very fair question. Look, we don't limit ourselves to any type of window. We don't look at this and say, oh, man, you know, we have to win in the next 2 years or else it's not going to happen. If we are doing our jobs well, we are able to give this organization a chance to win year in and year out. And, you know, and those guys that you listed, they are really important and really impactful parts of this organization, you know, and they're a big part of what we're going to do, you know, this year and hopefully next year as well.
This arbitration process, and I know you're kind of a part of that as well, I've said is horrible, especially when players show up and hear what the other side says about them, their own team, like a Corbin Burns, and then you have a Corbin Burns come on and go, oh, I was told we're actually going to try and win this year. Being a smart aleck with that response, which I'm sure just annoys everybody in the front office. It would annoy me. Is that something that Major League Baseball has to look at and trying to figure out how to get around being in a situation where the players are there and they're kind of essentially the enemy of their own team?
I mean, look, I think the process itself certainly has its flaws. You know, I'm sure there has been work done between MLB and the PA to try to address, you know, or brainstorm and try to come up with a different way to fairly compensate players. You know, but whether or not it needs a complete overhaul, I will let people in a much higher pay grade than me decide that.
I'm not on a higher pay grade. I make significantly less than you, and I think it needs an overhaul. You don't got to go to anybody higher than you, buddy. Hey, let's talk about one other instance that Brewer fans are scratching their heads over that I feel like I need to bring up, and that is sure. Keston Hira specifically, because Brewer fans can't understand how he can hit as well as he does down there, and he's not being given another chance. And my response has simply been, at some point, maybe an organization says, a player is who he is, and we're going to use that player maybe to move that player at some point, and, you know, kind of run out of chances within an organization after being given several chances to succeed and not being able to make that jump from AAA to the major league level. Do you feel like within the organization, sometime across baseball, certain players within an organization can kind of get pigeonholed or tagged with a certain description of them and kind of can't get themselves out of it?
I think in general that's a fair assessment. You know, whether it applies specifically to Keston in this case, you know, I wouldn't say that that's exactly what's happening here. I mean, I think, look, Keston has had a tremendous season. He has done, you know, everything we have asked of him. He's been a great teammate. He's shown up. He's ready to work. But, you know, but in terms of, you know, where he fits on this roster, it's a byproduct of just how our roster lines up today and where the pieces fit best. So rather than, you know, looking at this in relation to any single player, it's really about how does the puzzle fit best as a unit? How can we win as many games as possible with the entirety of the depth that we have right now?
Would you say it's more likely that the Brewers do something to add to this team versus standing pat at the deadline? Because I can't imagine there's any way you're actually going to sell anything. So I'll say more likely that you do something versus not do something.
If we had to bet on it, I think it would be fair to bet that we are going to do everything we can to fortify this team. I think the current group has earned that. They've earned that from us. We are going to give them every effort we can in terms of doing our job to augment this team, to give ourselves a chance to win a division. Because ultimately, that's what we're here for. We're here to win. This team has earned it. This staff has earned it. And we're going to do everything we can to make that a reality.
I want to follow up with something. So from my standpoint, I look at it and I say, if I'm the Brewers, do I legitimately have a chance to win a World Series or get to the World Series? And if the answer to that is no, then I have to think big picture more than short term. From inside your office, is it more about just making the playoffs at the deadline as far as what you're going to do, more so than having the opportunity to think your team is good enough to go compete for a World Series?
It's really both. I mean, look, the reality is that if you want to win in a World Series, you have to get in the playoffs first. Right? You have to crawl before you can walk. So it really is just a balance between, we know we have to build a team, build a roster that can get us into the playoffs. But we also have an eye toward, okay, what might that look like? What might your roster look like once, if and when you get to that point? So it's really just trying to balance both of those perspectives. But again, it's really, you got to get in the playoffs if you want to make the World Series.
I got one last one for you. How involved is Craig Counsell when it comes to the trade deadline as far as communication with Craig? Gets his Santa wish list of what he would like kind of given to you guys. And then how much interaction is there between you and him as far as player possibilities that you guys might be able to get his sense of whether or not he'd want said player?
That's a great question. So we have daily communication with Craig, right? Craig is a very integral part of this organization. And we take his thoughts, opinions, and preferences very seriously. We also have, several other individuals in the group and frankly, the majority of our group, whose opinions we really value. So like anything, it's a lot of collaboration between multiple people, between multiple departments, and Craig is a really important part of that.
Matt Klein, Vice President of Baseball Operations for your favorite team, the Milwaukee Brewers. Looking forward to seeing what happens the last couple months of the season. Hopefully we'll be talking about a playoff team. I love doing this with you, Matt. Hopefully we could talk again more in the future.
Absolutely. Thank you, Steve.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.